It's almost like f***ing Mac took a f***ing brilliant leaf out of our own book of podcast swearing. Hello and welcome to edition 227 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula 1. So that was quite the start. I apologise now. Stuart's face has gone a bit very ashen. This is your Formula 1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat at the iconic Rushcutters Public House on the outskirts of Norwich, beside the river. And we are also going out on Future Radio. We are here to review the Hungarian Grand Prix, F1's final flurry before shutting down for its mid-season break. And boy, will that be a long 4 weeks for some people. Coming up, Bottas doesn't want wings, Alonso kills the radio star, and forced India. Thanks, Carl. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Joining us on tonight's pod, we have two times Beckles kart champion Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
Damon Hill radical and blogger Richard Baxter.
Good evening.
And just your regular Formula One fan happened to be just passing by, Mr. Stuart Webber.
Hello.
Everyone all right?
Very good, very good.
All well?
Very good, yep. Can't complain.
Are you ready for a Formula One break?
No.
Ah.
Oh. Last few races I really enjoyed. And it was championships building up, but knowing somebody that works in Formula One, I know he needs a break. So, yeah.
What is it? 12 races already?
Yes, yeah. And was it 5 in 6 weeks?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's some well-needed breaks.
I wasn't the feeling the triple header, but we talked about that the other week. Rich, how are you doing? Right?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I've literally today come out of holiday mode and just kind of got my head around working again. So, yeah.
Where have you been?
2 weeks in Kenya. You know, I've been back. I was back last week, but I mean, my head was just stuck in holiday mode. Sun was shining. I just wanted to sit outside and drink beer. So.
What a way to spend your holiday, eh? Lucky boy. Imagine having a holiday. Stuart, how are you? Been keeping busy?
Good, thank you, yeah. Been a busy summer.
Much on?
Had quite a bit on. Yeah. It's a bit quieter now. Yeah. Just in time for the F1 to finish. We haven't got time to watch it, but never mind.
It's nice how they do that, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Selfish of them, but never mind.
We should probably say, because we need to get it out of the way, Stuart is sporting director at Norwich City Football Club. But, you know, we couldn't possibly talk about football on this podcast.
Nope. We're talking about Formula One tonight. We've been told.
We've all been told. So, right, Kyle?
Okay, no questions.
Because I know what you're like.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Good man. All right, well, let's talk about the Formula One, shall we, before we get on a more awkward. Hungary, done, wrapped up, and curious race, I think, because it seemed to be slow building in the middle, but we got something of a finale. Ultimately, though, what happened is, despite all the shenanigans in qualifying and the rain and what have you, Lewis Hamilton dominated it, came out on top, and basically just completely backed up what happened the week before in Germany.
Stole the race from Ferrari. Done his work on Saturday. Mercedes got the perfect start. And thankfully, he was able to look after his tyres for most of the race. And it was a pretty boring win compared to his previous weekend.
The one before as well, because yes. A great recovery drive at Silverstone. I mean, if I was Sebastian Vettel, I'd be thinking, for f- sake, you know, that mistake now at Hockenheim is sort of been compounded, really, because they couldn't take advantage at Hungaroring either.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of last season when we went into the kind of Asian leg of the races, particularly Singapore and some other circuit, which I can't remember which one it was.
Close enough.
But there was...
It wasn't Abu Dhabi, was it? That was the problem, right?
Well, I remember he crashed into Stroll, didn't he? So he kind of didn't help himself after the checkered flag. And I think that was all after the Singapore madness as well. And it was, you know, it was kind of down 100%. Those were Ferrari tracks. Those were Ferrari races. And Mercedes just stole it. And it seemed kind of a bit of a similar situation. I mean, Hockenheim looked to be Vettel's, and that's a bit of a daft human error. But it happens, the best do it. And then, yeah, I mean, Hungary just kind of qualifying outdone by the weather. And then on the Sunday, just the nature of the circuit didn't help. Behind a wide Mercedes, overheating car, just didn't have the luck on his side, really.
Stuart, you were at Hockenheim, lucky boy. Well, what was that like with Vettel doing what he did?
Pretty bad for the majority of locals, although Max Verstappen was probably the most supported driver there. The amount of Dutch there was unbelievable, but it sort of come from nowhere as well. It was like, you know, it was a bit like the old Schumacher's days, where it was just easy, and you're thinking, oh well, this is getting a bit boring now. This will you'll just crack on and win it by 25 seconds and go home. And then when you see the error, and it's such a basic error, it's like, really, you know, you're four-time world champion, you shouldn't be doing that. But he did. Hamilton took advantage, got a bit of luck because of the safety car in that incident, and fair play to him. I think he's quoted it as one of his best ever races, which is some statement. But to come from 14th is, yeah, you probably can't argue with that. But then I think in Hungary, yeah, I think, you know, Ferrari really f***ed it up, because they were, you know, Vettel at that point I think was 7 seconds behind Hamilton, or ahead of him, sorry, but needing to pit stop, and had 24 seconds on Bottas, so he had a pit window, but they kept out an extra couple of laps, which got him in traffic, which then made the pit stop really tight, and then obviously the front left doesn't go on properly, cost him 2 seconds, and then he stuck behind Bottas for 15-20 laps, because, you know, it's pretty much impossible to overtake there. Whereas I think for the fans, it would have been great to have seen if he'd come out in second and chased Hamilton down, Hamilton all tyres at the end like Bottas was, and Bottas obviously really struggled at the end. That would have made it pretty interesting. Obviously good for Hamilton, and he took advantage of it, but I think for the race in general, it could have been better if he would have just sneaked out in front.
Where does this leave the championship battle at the moment? Because I just can't, and I know nothing's done, and Seb will be trying to prove himself and all this, that and the other, but a mistake like that, and I know we're talking about it a race after the event because we were talking about it all last week, but to me this just continues the narrative that's such a huge mistake that it is really hard to come back for something like that.
Yeah, I think it'll be a mistake he'll keep thinking about it for years and years, the next German Grand Prix, and so it's not going to go away quickly. But I think in a weird way this season may forget about it quite quickly, but it'll be in a few years' time. If he never wins the German Grand Prix, that'll always be on his mind. So,
well, imagine if he never wins the title again.
True.
But I think jumping guns.
But he's, you know, it's 24 points now. Just look, yeah, 24 points, and that can easily change around in Spa. Hamilton could put it in the wall, and Vettel wins, and he's back in the championship. 24 points seems a lot, but in reality, it's not. It's one race. Things soon turn around, but for his sake, if he comes back from the break strong like Hamilton did last year, because Hamilton was in a similar sort of position last year and bounced back and was really strong, so but interesting few races. And also Monza coming up shortly after Spa, there'll be big pressure on there following the news this week of Marchionne, so there'll be a lot of pressure on that, so there'll be even more pressure on him to win that Grand Prix as well. So, but Vettel's, like I said, he's a four-time world champion, so I'm sure he's pretty good at dealing with pressure.
Yeah, it's true. We should say our thoughts are with all the friends and family of Sergio Marchionne, because we knew he was ill on the podcast last week, but we did actually record before it was confirmed that he had died. So a phenomenal man in terms of what Ferrari have achieved. So much of their legacy in the sport is owed to him, and it's going to be very telling time what happens now at Ferrari, given that the sport have got so many issues to discuss and sort out going forward, because this is a pivotal time for Formula One in general.
100%, yeah, it was a really nice little tribute they did at the start of the race to Marchionne. It was just, you know, could see everyone kind of came together and in support for Ferrari. It's going to be interesting to see what they do, because obviously they've got big changes themselves, Ferrari, whether they go with Raikkonen or Leclerc. But I mean, Formula One, I think right now, especially for Liberty, is probably it's SpaceX now biggest test that it's ever had, I would say, with everything that's currently going on.
Just back to the race, Stuart. Valtteri Bottas. Someone sent round a very cruel image, I thought, of Valtteri's face morphing into Pastor Maldonado. Now, that was a little bit harsh. Now, he got a 10-second penalty, didn't he, for the crash against on Seb, I think. Was that right?
Ricciardo.
Or was it the one for Ricciardo? Sorry. Whoops. But, of course, he also had the collision with Seb too. I think Seb was quite magnanimous about that. How did you see all that? Because he did go a bit erratic towards the end.
Yeah, he did. I think they made a mistake. As soon as Raikkonen pitted, I thought they had to pit him. Now, they might have said, oh, trying to get a 1-2, but his tyres were never, ever going to last, ever, because he came in so early in the stop to cover off Raikkonen early in the race. So I think it was two big errors, but I think he's almost set up for them errors. You know, these cars are so unbelievably powerful that, you know, you're trying to defend when your tyres aren't gripping. It's, you know, you're asking for it a little bit. He got away, I think, with the Vettel one. I think that could have been really messy. That was an inch away from spinning Vettel around and it being a disaster for the sport, and, you know, especially with the words after Silverstone that, you know, maybe Hamilton and Toto Wolff regret saying, but, you know, it could have easily come back round to, oh, right, OK, we're all at it. So, yeah, it's pretty disappointing. But, he's had a difficult time, you know, because he, you know, at Hockenheim a week earlier, he's told that he wasn't allowed to overtake Hamilton despite being no team orders. And then obviously that happens to him where he probably feels he's been a bit stitched up and probably had a... I think he would have easily got third if they would have pitted him at the same time. Yes, it would have released Vettel to potentially close down Hamilton or whatever, but then this is where, you know, they've got to come out and be honest and go, no, he's a wingman. He's not fighting for the title, because that's what he is. Because the minute they did that, it wasn't thinking of Bottas or even the team, it was thinking of the fella out in front, Lewis Hamilton, which is their right to do that. But, you know, don't keep saying that they're here to race and that they're individuals when it's plain to see they're not.
So do you think he is a wingman? Because that was what 100%. Toto said. And...
Yeah, 100%.
I like it. He said it hurt. Poor Valtteri.
Yeah, I don't have too much sympathy for him because, let's be honest, he's not at the level as Hamilton either. Like, Raikkonen's not at the level of Vettel. So I think, you know, the day our two proper number ones in the team would probably get messy anyway. And he is what he is. He's well paid. If you don't like it, go and drive for Force India or something and not get paid.
So team principal material right there. Interesting, one of our little on the inside sources suggested that there's only one driver at Mercedes currently developing the car, and it ain't Lewis. But there we go.
Well, he's only paid £40 million a year. I'm sure. Well,
I'd only need to work 1 year. No, probably 3 weeks, and I'd be all right.
Is it work, though?
Well, it's not even work. How does it even work? Oh, no, that's not, we love doing the podcast. That's enough.
To be, since he's got his deal, he's probably earned a few bob from Mercedes in a way. So.
Yeah.
And has Valtteri become wingman since he signed his new deal?
Well, it was literally within, you know, a day or two of having the announcement that, oh, by the way, don't race with Lewis. Thanks, Valtteri. Just, you know, leave that alone. He's all right where he is. There we go. All right, quick round the table question, because I asked, I still think what happened in Germany is absolutely intrinsic to where the championship goes now. So I asked this question last week. I'll ask it again. Who's going to win the title?
Hamilton.
I'm Rich.
I never like to guess, but I'm gonna say Vettel because I'm always wrong. So
says the man who makes loads of predictions. What? Let's do it.
Vettel.
Okay, 2-1. Still think it'll be Lewis. We will see. How exciting!
No, got why to expand shortly. Go on. If you remember,
is it because you don't like Lewis?
Yeah, 100%. No, no. It's. I remember a few years ago, Hamilton Rosberg. Hamilton trailed by some ridiculous amount of points. And I think that was the year we had probably double points in the last race as well. But of course, it all turned around before then anyway. So they were, you know, pretty much even going into the last race. So we've seen it swing around a big amount before. So I think it could happen again.
And I think she agrees with you, the little kid over there. That's good. And of course, Ferrari's probably still the quickest car on the grid.
That's the biggest point for me. Last year, he didn't have a better car. This year, he has. And I look at the races coming up and everyone thought that Silverstone, Hockenheim, all this would suit Mercedes. It probably suited Ferrari better, so I think he's got the better car.
Quick reminder for you all, best places to interact with us on social media. You can follow on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at the NRF1 is the handle. Send us an email, nrf1podcast@gmail.com, and the website, nrf1.uk. I'll see what I can do with all those over the 4 week break. Fingers crossed. Do I say this every week, Carl?
Pretty much, yeah. But, you know.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologise to me.
All right, I'm sorry to you listeners. God, dear. Cheers, Kyle. So you know what time it is. NRF1 pit stops time. That is what DT's pit stop impression there never gets old. That. Let's stop off at Red Bull first of all, shall we? God, they had some fun, didn't they? By the way, Ted Kravitz did his notebook from in front of the Verstappen fans at the Hungaro Ring. They were still there like 2 hours after the end of the race, having their own rave because some people had installed some speakers in front of them. They were literally just pumping out some old house and trance, apparently. That's what Ted said. I wouldn't be able to pick that out. And they were just having a rave, and everyone else basically left the circuit.
It was just like, yeah, one block, wasn't there, of Dutch fans.
Amazing.
That's quite impressive how they got that into the track.
Where there's a will. That was probably the highlight of the race for those guys, and poor old Max, to the point where the failure of, I guess it was the Renault power unit, was it, in the end that failed? Can't remember which bit
in
failed.
The UK, was it? Yeah.
Well, that's the McLaren bit, isn't it? Or is it? Or is that the Renault bit?
I don't know.
No, it is a Renault bit because there is an upgrade that Red Bull aren't using for some reason. Yeah. And apparently there was criticism from Christian Horner towards Renault, and I think Renault have gone, we don't care, you're going to have Honda next year, so screw you. This is probably not ideal for a team that wants to do something of note this year, really, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't too long ago we had Ricciardo touted as championship contender. And, you know, a couple of races later, it's like, who? But it's true, you know, we kind of just forgotten about them. It was, I think, when he won a couple of races, was it Monaco? After Monaco, I think, probably everyone started saying, oh, you know, he could win the championship and he's good. It's like, he's good enough, definitely. There's quite a few drivers who are good enough, but it's just that, you know, the engine's not there. They've got unbelievable grip in the corner. You can see, I mean, as Ricciardo came through, the overtakes they were doing, or he was doing around the outside of people and just breezing past, they've got an unbelievable car there. So, it's, yeah, you know, it's all down to the engine again, you'd say, but at the end of the day, just get on with it. Just drive your car faster.
About that's the way, Rich. I mean, apart from when it rains, it appears that the Red Bull doesn't actually work at all in the wet. That was what they learnt this week. Interesting as well in terms of Max, because of course the first line wasn't just me going on a swearing rant; it was paying homage to Max's radio message, which was classic.
It reminded me actually of Vettel. You know, someone hit me in the rear. Yeah. Turn one.
We did a great version of that as well, so that's all good.
Charlie Whiting
one. Yes.
Yeah, remember.
Remember it well.
Charlie.
Where did that get him, hey? Max has since apologised for his swearing fit. I mean, the thing is, Max, if you did it on the podcast, we'd just beep it. You'd be fine. You know, you wouldn't have to apologise. Probably not best on the team radio, admittedly, though. Just in terms of someone, you know, who might possibly deal with sports contracts, Stuart. Danny Rick, what kind of situation do you see him being in? Because he clearly was hedging his bets. I got the impression he felt like he was a man in the kind of driving seat, so to speak, at the start of all this. But now it's dragged on, and really, it's Red Bull or bust. He hasn't got any power, and in danger possibly of someone, you know, coming up on the rails and them deciding, well, actually, Danny, you're right.
Yeah, I think the key is you've got to know what card you're sort of playing with, and I've watched this quite closely, because, you know, this is probably where there is a little bit of parallel between the jobs and you know, dealing with superstar egos and all this sort of stuff. So I think he's played this really badly. Because since Monaco, he's not backed it up with any sort of performance. I think he's been outqualified every time, if I might be wrong, but by Verstappen. Obviously, they pray for rain at every race, they get it, and he qualifies 13th, so not the brightest thing to do. And then, you know, as we said on before, if people genuinely thought he was world class, I'm not sure they're ever putting him next to Hamilton or next to Vettel, which are obviously the two best cars anyway, because they don't really sort of want that. You know, I don't think any team's really done that for quite a few years anyway. So yeah, I think he's played it bad, and he's got to be very careful that they don't, you know, look elsewhere and go with Verstappen as a number one driver and go, actually, this might be a little bit easier if we bring in a young guy to be the sort of next Verstappen and work with him for a couple of years, and then when Max disappears off to Mercedes or Ferrari, they got the next one ready. So I think he's got to be careful. I think he's played it pretty poorly. You know, he's a guy everyone loves, but he might have got this one wrong.
He's great to watch, and we saw that again on around Hungary too.
Yeah, I'd say he's the best overtaker on the grid, but he's not the quickest driver at Red Bull. So a lot of his races are coming from 5th, 6th on the grid and a bit chaotic races, and he's brilliant at those. But in an out-and-out pace to qualify first and win a boring race like Hamilton done, you can't really see him doing that too often.
Got to say, to add on that, on Max Verstappen, having been fortunate to have been to the race I've been this year, his support is unbelievable. And don't ignore that fact of what Red Bull will be thinking. Is he is a proper brand where he's got the whole country behind him, literally. And, you know, that sells.
A few of the other ones as well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. A few of the others as well. He sells. You know, he'll be selling lots of Red Bull shirts, caps and all the rest of it. He's very marketable. And, yeah, Danny Ricciardo's a lovely guy and got a lovely smile and all the rest of it. But, you know, he's not Max, so I think that'll also play on Red Bull's mind, let alone obviously quickest driver as well, which also obviously helps.
Thanks for pronouncing it correctly as well, Ricciardo. I appreciate that. Let's move on to Formula One, Force India, shall we? Although this is quite an intrinsic story to Formula One. What a mess. And that it seemed to just come like this, didn't it, over the race weekend. Plunged into administration. I can't remember, it was one of the drinks brands that was like, hang on, why are they all trying to screw us over? We've pumped in 30 million quid into this team, and all of a sudden Sergio Perez has taken us to court. Can't remember what I probably should know.
Rich Energy.
That's it, Rich Energy. Obviously, because they've just thrown 30 million quid away, supposedly. And then, of course, Sergio says, no. I'm doing this just to save the team from being completely wound up and disappearing. Having suddenly discovered the administration rules. Now, that's what has been played out in public. I'm sure there's a lot more that's gone on beneath the surface. But where does this go? Because it clearly affected them. They both failed to get out of Q1 for the first time in three years, I think.
Yeah, I know they said they've got a lot of parts for the car they want to bring, but they can't because they can't ship them out and stuff. You know, obviously bigger than hand luggage, it seems, so which is a bit of a problem. But this is the biggest test that Liberty Media face we'll face, I think, in Formula One, because we cannot afford to lose another team after KTM, Lotus, and Mana Marussia, whatever names you want to go by on them.
USF1, remember them? I mean, his HRT as well, Hispania Racing, back in the day. So we kind of know how this plays out from Caterham, and obviously that was the death of Formula One in Norfolk. I'm not going to put it any more lightly than that. But, this idea, you can come back from administration, everything gets sold off. Yeah, it's for sale, but who on earth wants to invest in a Formula One team? It costs a load of money that most people don't have. And this is a really high performing team. This is probably the best performing pound for pound team in Formula One, given what their budget is. So this can't really fail in terms of what Formula One is trying to do. So who comes in? What do they do? And for Melissa's sake, say it's not Lance Stroll's dad.
Well, that's the rumour I heard. But you can kind of see some sort of connection with him, the drinks company BWT, maybe Mercedes get involved just to try and save it. I can imagine they'll run till at least the end of the year. I think Liberty will make sure that. But it does seem that everybody just got pretty pissed off with Vijay Mallya just hanging on to this team, not pushing it forward, turning up to one Grand Prix because he can't leave the country. Anyway, I think it's good. I think it got to the point where something has to be done. Where at the time it was just playing along, and it could have got even worse. So hopefully they've put him into administration with a plan of something happening this week, or at least before Spa, and then they can move forward. But if they, like I said, Force India was fourth last year in the championship, and it's just a sign that the money from Formula One just needs to be spread about more evenly, because if Force India get busted, then what's the hope of any other small team?
It would be effectively a sign that Formula One is broken. There's a team that makes composites a company that makes composites for Formula One teams based in Norfolk. Of course, we're an engineering hub for Formula One. They were very glad that they got their payments that were delayed from Force India before the administration happened. So that was well done. How do you see this playing out, Stuart? Because, I mean, you deal in football. That is a load of money. And I don't know how many conversations I've had with people about the hole that Norwich have had to fill and all that sort of stuff. But we're not talking about football, Carl. In terms of looking at the numbers for Force India and Formula One, does that even make your eyes water?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. When, like Rich alluded to, they're a successful team as well. So we're not talking about a team who have done nothing for the last 5 or 6 years. They've been an upcoming team who've had really good races and got on podiums. And for me, they got two excellent drivers, one potentially top driver. So to see these in a mess is pretty sad for the sport. And we can't lose another team, in my opinion. And a bit like football, the sport's got to sort itself out. It gets to a point where the money will run out, because people will stop investing, because you invest a lot of money, you want to win, but not everyone can win, unfortunately. And that's a bit where I think the money people get a bit lost as to, well, why aren't we winning, we're putting loads of money in. Well, yeah, but they're putting more and they're putting more. So I think Liberty have got a duty to save the sport here, and I think we should all, F1 fans, should be concerned as to where it's going. And it concerns me this could be the start. I hope this sorts itself out very quickly, but it worries me, who's next. You look at how Williams are struggling along and you think, my God, imagine that, something happened to them, what they've done in the sport. But I think it's real, I think it's there. And I think it's really concerning what's going on.
Wake up call from Weber.
We have a little football.
If I was writing a story, that's what I'd
do. A little football link. This Rich Energy, I read that David Gold and David Sullivan are somehow involved in that, which is interesting. Yeah.
Stuart, can I get you a thing? No, don't worry.
Which is interesting. Well,
we'll farm and buy Force India.
Yeah,
that's what you should do.
Yeah.
Heard really? It here first. Yeah. Exclusive.
Well, we know there's loads of, they don't pay anything for the stadium.
Well,
so
they're going to have you're probably going to say that, aren't you? But the talk of the London Grand Prix around the Olympic Stadium. Or the Olympic
just, as a, just as an oval.
Possibly.
I was going to add, you remember Sauer a few years ago had the Chelsea logos on the car?
Yeah.
See, we've solved this.
Solved it.
That would be the real hammer time then as well.
Yeah.
That's why you're here, Rich. That's why you're here. I was going to say, don't get me started on the London Stadium. But anyway, let's move on. Right, there will be many more pit stops and chat about the 2018 Hungarian Grand Prix, the talking points, and across all of the first half of the season, of course, in our exclusive Patreon podcast. To hear that and more, check out patreon.com/nrf1, patreon.com/nrf1, right after this podcast. Now, let's rattle through these. Hour of the weekends. As always, we like to start with the Rodolfo Gonzalez, the driver of the weekend. Hello, Rodolfo. Attleborough's finest.
Do we know what he's up to this year?
No. I tell you what. Let's remind me. And the other side of the mid-season break, we'll remind ourselves what he's doing. I imagine he's racing and probably winning somewhere. Wouldn't you think?
Absolutely, of course.
When you have your education, racing education in Attleborough, you're winning. Let's face it. Anyway, driver of the weekend.
I'm getting there first by saying Pierre Gasly. Best of the rest.
Oh, shout.
Winner of Formula 1B. That's the second time he's won that race.
This does filter into the fact that, as we were saying, Red Bull, looking at, well, who could possibly step in for Danny Ric, you'd look at Pierre and think, yeah, he could do something.
Yeah, so he's had a decent season. Yeah, he'll be banging on the door, I imagine, in a couple of years. Yeah. But, yeah, Pierre Gasly.
Rich?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd also give a shout to Fernando Alonso.
That's
his name. It's his initial and his last name, so it spells Fulonzo.
Note down Fulonzo, because I'll be able to use that for the end of the season.
But, he had a good drive. I mean, getting the McLaren to the points. You don't really have to say much more than that.
Poor McLaren. Stuart?
Gasly, and then I think you've got to say Hamilton for that qualifying lap, and then, let's be honest, he controlled the race and won it brilliantly in a race they weren't expecting to win, so I think credit where it's due there.
Credit where it's due there. Team of the weekend? Anyone? Sean? Force India for managing to actually get cars out when they didn't know where their futures were going to lie?
Yeah, I think you have to give a shout to them. I think the McLarens as well, because let's not forget, until Van Dorn broke down, he was in the top 10. On genuine pace, the two of them, so that was exciting until it obviously broke down.
But it looked like you could overtake Alonso at one point as well, so I mean, that would have said something to the team.
Clutching at straw, just trying to be positive here. I'm sitting with McLaren actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to disagree. I mean, the only one I'd say is Toro Rosso, because Hartley was even up there in qualifying and during the race, and then I don't know what happened to him. He probably just got distracted.
Got a bit bored. Yeah, what am I doing tonight? Pretty much. Kyle?
I'll go Toro Rosso. Two cars in Q3 for them is pretty impressive. So, and Hartley was 11th, a little bit unlucky. But
I did say, I don't know what happened to him. I think I read today he had a bit of a funny strategy and he kind of got put behind some cars and held up.
He said that nobody ever took me, but I ended up 11th and he didn't quite couldn't work out why.
Okay, well, maybe Toro Rosso shouldn't be team of the weekend then. I did like, there was a tweet that sort of went out saying, what was it from? It was Pablo.
So LEGP, isn't he, on Twitter?
Yeah, that's it. LEGP on Twitter. Yeah. Thanks, Carl. That's much more English. saying he couldn't remember the last time Kimi was put on a winning strategy. Which I quite like that idea. It's four for you, Rich. Happy about that?
I am so delighted. I was coming down here tonight, and as I was in my car driving, I thought, just hope us get to see four carriages of train.
Brilliant. That's enough of that. Pastor Maldonado of the weekend, although we could call it Valtteri Bottas of the weekend if you want, so should we just make it Valtteri?
So harsh. More poor Bottas. Is that too obvious to go Bottas?
No. Can we have a nod to Christian Horner's commentary on Sky, by the way, saying, well, carefully doesn't oversteer, careful Bottas doesn't oversteer into our
Wait to the next award. You can't say it now. Wait to the next award.
Sorry, Rich. Sorry. All right.
Supposed to be the host, man.
All right. Anyway, Pasta. Yeah, Bottas. Carl's going with that.
I won't say Bottas because I think Hamilton won the race because of Bottas, basically being a roadblock. So I'm going to say turn one for the Saubers.
Your fans, Rich.
One of many. I hope. No, but yeah, turn one, Sauber for turn one. They both just seem to not really have too much spatial awareness, and there's a couple of sandwiches going on there. So, and they didn't have a good race considering they've got quite a decent car this year.
Fair point.
Brendan Hartley, because she's got to get in the top 10. I just think he's horrendous.
Yeah.
It makes me sick when I watch him, to be honest.
He makes you sick.
Seriously, it's just one of them, you know, when you just can't take to someone and you think, get off, get out the sport.
Yeah.
He's probably lovely, but no, get out.
Happens to me in football that sometimes, Carl, but we won't talk about football. Can I nominate Marcus Ericsson? The brilliant around Marcus Ericsson. He was talking to David Coulthard before the race, going on, oh, it's going to be tight, blah, blah, blah. I think it's going to need to be really smart this is going to be a really good race to show where you're really smart up here, pointing to his forehead, you know, as if, and I'm good at that, so we'll see how we get on. And Coulthard said, yeah, look forward to seeing that, in a kind of, yeah, not sure you're capable of that, Marcus. What happened? Turn one, lap one, Ericsson smashed into someone, didn't he, basically? Not so smart, and that sort of scuppered his race, although he did finish 15th.
Yeah, 15th.
Oh, sorry, that's the season, yeah. 15th. Yeah. You know, so that's not too bad for him, is it? Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend. Rich.
Well, I think the the commentary from Christian Horner during the race, where he said, oh, yeah, you know, Ricciardo's got him here, let's just hope Bottas doesn't understeer into him. And he understeered into him.
Yeah. Ouch.
I'm sorry for shutting you off.
That's all right, no. It was oversteer, but don't worry about that. Or was it understeer? No, it was understeer.
That's a bit of both.
Understeer, I think, wasn't it?
I don't know.
He didn't have the grip to make the corner, and then he didn't have the tyres to keep the back in line, so he just kind of had a four-wheel drift.
You're right, he did understeer.
The front understeered, the back oversteered, we'll say that.
It was a brilliant moment.
Probably Danny Rick giving Bottas the finger when he overtook him the following lap. Which was
really?
Quite, yeah, as he went past him, he sort of just gave it that.
No need for that.
Oh, and also the Dutch fans, as we mentioned earlier, it was pretty cool.
Dutch fans, Ted Kravitz notebook, brilliant.
Yeah, probably the Christian Horner's commentary. You can't get any more live than that. Yeah,
it was
good.
Brilliant. I think Ped tried to suggest that when it happened, Christian went, oh, f*** or something, and they cut him off. But I did try and watch the Sky commentary again. I didn't hear that.
I was watching Sky. I didn't hear it at the time.
But I love the idea. I've got it in my head that he did that, because that's brilliant.
Yeah. I think he did, because straight afterwards they came and was like, oh, we're sorry for Christian's comments there. But I think that kind of cut out, so you couldn't hear it properly. But yeah. I think
they knew it was coming.
Yeah.
So they sort of almost cut him, and then he did it, and they were like, did that go out live? Because I didn't hear it live, but I heard the comments about, oh, we want to apologise. I'm like, I don't think he said it wrong.
I didn't hear the comment, because I literally went back to the moment, because I had it recorded live to watch it. Maybe you just went, and that would have done it.
And we did actually hear from Giuliano Salvi.
Did we?
In practice.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well done. I obviously listened to all the commentary and watched
it. Magnus was moaning at him because there was an issue, and Kevin Magnus was just look at it, look at the data. And Jim said, yeah, fine, yeah, we'll sort that out. And he said, just look at the data, corner one to corner two. So I think it's the first time I've heard from him since we created this award for him.
That is a big, yeah, we've scuppered him, haven't we? That is a big loss. Get more Giuliano Salvi on the TV, please. Right, okay.
Oh, just quickly on the subject of the commentary as well from Christian Horner. I think something that we could take up, and I'd like people's opinions, but possibly doing like, you know, they do honest commentaries and stuff, and we could try and get our own reactions to certain points of the race. I think that could be something to try. So maybe if probably creating a lot of work, so you might edit this out. But I mean, if people have their own reactions, send them in. So when you're talking about something, you can get people's honest reactions and commentaries of these things as they happen.
What a f***ing that would be good. And did you send us a commentary?
I did, yeah.
You did?
Yeah. It's not the best one, because the start, nothing too major happened.
Should I not bother playing it?
You can if you like.
Do you want me to play it?
That's up to you.
Have you done commentary?
Yeah. Rich does commentary every race.
But just sat at home?
Yeah.
We've got to listen, haven't we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do we need to rate him on this?
Yeah, no, excellent. Well, you're a connoisseur. Yeah, exactly. We'll definitely do that.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another RB commentary.
Brandy.
Once again with me, Rich. This time for the Hungarian Grand Prix. Broadcast especially for the NRF1 podcast, the best F1 podcast out there.
So, well done, Rich. Good one.
Excellent. Keep following. As we were saying, Hungary Grand Prix, it's going to be a fascinating race. Qualifying was wet, and Mercedes took advantage of pole position, but in the practice sessions, in the heat, Ferrari were on top. So, you know, Vettel fourth, Raikkonen starts third. I think it's going to be a crazy start to this race. I mean, what they were saying previously, well, Hamilton especially, about some funny Ferrari tactics. You know, are the Ferraris going to stop into turn one, or are they just going to carry on going straight and punt them? Who knows? But we're about to find out. We'll count the lights as they come on. And one light, two lights, three lights, four lights, five lights, pause, go. And looks like the Mercedes got away well. I think Vettel's made a blinding start, looks like, as well. Oh, it's still Mercedes 1-2 right now. Raikkonen and Vettel holding third and fourth. Ferrari's looking to the outside, but I don't think it's going to get anywhere there. Okay, they're all through, look to be through turn one nice. And yeah, still Mercedes, Ferrari. Now the Mercedes side by side in turn two. Oh, and is that Vettel going to the outside? I don't know if he's going to stick anything there. He's not. I think he's got his teammate possibly, but they're going down. All looks to be clean so far. No contact. Toro Rosso in the background seems to have made a pretty decent start, but Verstappen's jumped, so he's already up. They all still look to be good. They're all through safely and cleanly so far. Not too many changes of position. Vettel managed to get past his teammate, but he's still got the Mercedes to get past. It's difficult to overtake here in Hungary, so we have to see what he can do. No big jumps by anyone apart from Verstappen, really, who made a decent start, jumped a couple of places. So Mercedes are going to have to defend to try and hold off Ferraris. So we're going to have to see what happens for the rest of this race.
Well, fair play. That is was commitment,
that,
Rich.
Was that an advert next?
I was kind of waiting for something to happen. Building up. That's going to be fascinating. The start, just kind of pretty much as you were. It was kind of reminded me of, I think it was Monaco, just kind of watching him go around. It was just like, this was a waste of 2 minutes, but it's okay, you know, I'll keep doing them. And
keep doing them, and you know, at least now we've wasted everyone's 2 minutes, so that's the most important thing. I'm only joking. Race rating out of 11, let's do that briefly, shall we? I think Germany and Silverstone were up in the nines, pretty high. Our record is for this season 11.35 for Azerbaijan. Worst race was Spain, 5.3. Monaco, yeah, 5.25. So out of 11, what do you reckon?
6, and I'm only giving it that because of qualifying.
It was a good qualifier.
I'm going to say 7.
6.5. Go in the middle.
6.25. So whatever that is, that's what we got. Biggest smile on their face heading home on their private plane.
Let me just look at the results again.
It's not Danny Rick, is it?
Definitely not, no.
That'll do for me. Right, you can make sure you catch all our key NRF1 podcasts by subscribing. Gasly, well done, Rich. Via your podcast player of choice, nrf1.uk/podsubscribe, and you'll find all the links you need. If you can't find yours, let us know with an email, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And of course, if we are on iTunes, give us a rate and a review, nrf1.uk/itsonitunes. Be nice, but you don't have to.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
So, very brief look forward, shall we? It is the mid-season break. In terms of where we are with the season, who's going to be lying by their pool for 4 weeks of the summer, just chilling, happy in the knowledge of everything they've done so far?
Mercedes and Hamilton. Pierre Gasly, Charles Leclerc, last race, obviously not counting, but yeah, I think they'll be the happiest people out there.
Lee Clark.
Yeah, and Kevin Magnussen. I reckon he's going to have a pretty good summer.
Yeah.
A good season.
Yeah, I mean, the way Grosjean's kind of turned his season around, he's got points finishes the last few races. I think he's going to be feeling quite pleased, you know, so he can press on for the second half of the season. But Haas in general, I think, have definitely, you know, really shown up this year. So I think they're going to be pretty pleased.
And of course, it's Spa when we all come back. We love Spa. What a track, what a place. I think I want to go to Spa. I've never been. I was very close as a 13-year-old. Do you want to go?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, road trip.
Next year?
Yeah.
Stuart, do you want to come with us to Spa next year?
I'd love to.
Yeah. Do you reckon we could sort that out?
Easy.
Yeah? Easy, do they?
Easy. Yeah? Use your charm.
So as long as we don't talk about football, we'll be fine.
No transfer window now. That's closed by then.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's easy.
And everyone's, you know, well, it's basically you've closed yours already now anyway, haven't you? So, you know, we're right.
That's a fair comment, yeah.
Not talking about football. Now, predictions, please. Let's get one prediction in for... Oh, okay. Yeah. One prediction in for the second half of the season and one prediction for Belgium. Carl, go.
Raikkonen to win Belgium.
Oh!
Good lord. Leclerc to be confirmed at Ferrari second half of the season.
Wow, good shout.
I think, yeah.
I love that. I'll say, I'm going to get these in now. Danny Rick will end up a Red Bull driver for next season over the course of the second half of the season, which I guess also counts to the summer break. And Hamilton will win in Spa.
I'm going to say for the second half of the season, Grosjean will score more points than Magnussen. Team RG and all that.
Another pint, hello, Perry.
And a Belgian prediction, I'm going to say at least 3 first lap retirements.
Make your commentary more exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hope so. Sorry, Rich.
If all the rest come true, definitely.
For Spa, Mercedes domination. And then for the rest of the season, something to happen between Bottas and Hamilton where Bottas takes him out.
Oh, love it. Brilliant. And when you say domination, what was that? 1-2 finish?
1-2, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
And we'll put more predictions, of course, in our Patreon podcast. Stuart, you're here. Let's have a quick chat. We can't talk about football, obviously, but if there's anything you wanted to say about football, you could say it now if you wanted to.
Yep, thanks.
Anything you want to say about football?
I'm just looking forward to the season.
Good, I'll do. Rich?
Yeah, I wish it was just as exciting as Formula One.
Fair enough.
And the commentary. We'll do some commentary on some football.
Yes, Rich. We'll come up with our own podcast for that.
Definitely do that.
We'll do that. Also, Norwich City is, of course, the official football club of the NRF1 podcast, Stuart, as we've now decided. Do you want to return the favour?
What favour?
Well, the NRF1 podcast could be the official Formula One podcast of Norwich City Football Club.
Oh, so you want us to sponsor you, is what you're asking. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Cool, brilliant. Well, that's been really productive. I'm going to take that. What's Fantasy League? We've been doing that. I don't know where we are, and we'll sort it all out in the next podcast, so don't worry about that. But for now, we are done with this podcast. If you want to hear more from us about the Hungary action and talking points, all our mid-season and Belgium predictions, and everything else in between, including Renault setting the dial to Ocon, rustling up some testing, and is he making a Rick? Then take in our exclusive Patreon podcast that you will find at patreon.com/NRF1, patreon.com/NRF1. We will return with E228, our own Belgian review, as we round up all the Spa action and another bonus Patreon edition, all shortly after round 13 of the 2018 Formula One Championship and 4 weeks, of course, on from the down low. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio and the Rush Cutters, and it's goodbye from Kyle.
Goodbye.
From Rich.
Goodbye.
From Stuart.
Goodbye.
From myself, a very goodbye and good night to you. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Enjoy your quiet summer. Stick yourself in the wind tunnel for a few hours, and we'll all return to swap notes after F1's return at Spa-Francorchamps come the end of August. Until then, goodbye.